Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Mom and Dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad.
Well, welcome home, family.
Welcome home.
It's your mom and dad. That was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
That's kind of in sync. Hey, I have a very important and pressing question to ask you and the audience, okay? Before I go on a rant about how now since watching episodes 3, 4, and 5 of the most recent season of Love is Blind, I've discovered maybe some of the worst people on the planet.
Really interesting. I mean, talk about the first little chunk being a certain way.
It was, and then
we're like, is Joe kind of maybe a player? We can't really tell. He might be villain number one.
I'm getting some red flags from Anton. I don't know if they're
going to like him. Exactly sure. And then it's like, we don't even need Joe. We forgot about Joe. Does Joe even exist?
Some of the worst people I've ever come across, ever. So there's that, and we'll talk about that. But I have a very pressing question for you. And that is my king.
Yes.
Why is it that everyone feels the need to, after a proposal, and how is it appropriate to, after a proposal, scream, let's go, let's go? Evan, I, I levitated out of my body in the midst of all the nightmarish fuel that these few episodes gave us. Almost every one of the men screamed, even the ones who was kind of out of character for, let's go, after they proposed. And I'm going to let you know that if after you proposed to me, you screamed, let's go, I would end the relationship. Now, this is, if you have been, if you proposed to somebody or you were proposed to and the person screamed, let's go, and you loved that and that was something that was in character for that person, shout outs and props and blessings and all the great tidings. Because if I was, you know, dating a let's go guy, and then when he proposed to me, he said, let's go, they'd be like, well, it's par for the course. But I'm just asking why everybody has to, how is it appropriate to, after declarations of love, scream, let's go? Maybe I just don't have the gift of joy and love in my life. And so
I don't think
just...
it's a declaration of love.
That's
It is the modern basic male's version of stress relief. You know what I'm saying? Or kind of like a buildup of tension and then release. I got an A on my test. Let's go. I was stressed about the result.
I scored the goal
in the game. Let's go.
Also,
it's funny because it is, this is a common issue. The let's go is like, I don't know what else to scream.
Yeah, that's my thing. If you proposed to me and then you started screaming at the top of your lungs, I love you, you're the love of my life, that would be different.
Kind of weird though.
Sure.
I love you. Like, that's
but
a little weird.
I'd be like, I guess you're overcome with joy, but let's go makes me feel like you're on your way to have a couple more brewskis with your buds before the game.
Well, I think,
and I'm like a golf, like a par, you got a birdie on my ass.
I think you're correct. I also think it's kind of like
like a game.
Well, you're gonna get this from the broskies. A broskies love a let's go, and I think what it is it's a, like, I don't want to come across embarrassing by celebrating.
Okay,
so a squeal or a wee, like that wouldn't work.
And that would be sweet.
But to these type of guys, there's this, I gotta still be cool. Yeah. So saying let's go in like a yeah is a way to kind of show my excitement without embarrassing myself.
Okay, well I...
So it's funny because it's like universal. Like let's go, screaming let's go is the only celebration the modern male uses. It's very funny.
I just want to
You can hear a let's go, it's everywhere.
Yeah, it's true.
It's everywhere.
Every group of men you see, if you walk past a group of men, you'll hear someone scream, let's go.
Exactly.
Now, I just want to extend myself to all the men out there and say, you know what? You celebrate. We want you to feel, we all want you to feel your feelings and let them out because that's good and healthy for you. You know what I mean? But just know that if you want to let out a squeal, if you want to let out a cry, if you want to let out a cute scream, we love, okay? But a let's go, we're done. We're done with it. That's all.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't match the occasion.
That's what I'm saying.
It doesn't match the occasion.
That's what I'm saying. Do your let's go at the game. Do your let's go when
leave it
something,
for the bar when you have the bet on the game.
When something great happens at work, but just not the proposal. That's all we ask. You give us a cry. Give us a shout of glory. Give us a woohoo is great.
Yahoo!
What's a little Poppy the Prairie Dog that I've been fixated on? This is a little prairie dog on Instagram. And when their people say Poppy, she goes wow.
Yeah,
do that.
I don't know if you'd like that, but yeah, but be inspired to find your own version. I love it. Okay, yeah, no, it is very funny. The let's go is very funny, and I find myself even in times of stress relieving joy throwing out a let's go, and I'm guilty of it, and I'm saying I'm sorry, and I'm gonna work on a new take.
You know what, maybe it's, you know what, I take it all back.
Wow. You know what? We love a queen who can just absolutely know and feel so passionate about something and then feel wrong about something and then make change. You know, because that's true humility.
You know what? I take it all back. I'm being an asshole. It's just people getting excited. And who am I to rain on someone's parade? And if it's their deep exhale, I take it all back.
But
let's
real quick,
started.
Just a quick note I want to say about this. What I feel like it is, is it's the beer sign to the decorated home.
Wow, that is such
is
a
that not no, is that not is, a vibe?
That's one of the most gorgeous analogies I've ever heard
it's
for
the,
anything
like,
ever.
I've decorated my beautiful home. Everyone comes in. There's just accents and
a gorgeous
and
aesthetic.
Then, and then he's like, St. Pauli girl neon sign is the let's go to that beautiful moment.
Because
the moment
so
is,
good.
You know, say something romantic, you get on a knee, yes, tears share, and then it's just like, you know, it's just like, what? Now we're like, we changed the genre entirely.
I like that example a lot. Boom. Wow, that was fantastic.
Case closed.
Lawyer Evan here to
no,
save
no, both
the
of us.
Day.
You came, you showed the whole way.
Oh, you know, I had, you know what? I grew in these 10 minutes
these
that
times.
We've had together. I came in angry and now I'm humbled before you and I lay myself before you prostrate and humiliated and
well,
full
I,
shame.
Well, appreciate your humility and we in the Let's Go community invite you in.
Thank you.
Let's go.
Okay, family, I want to talk about these damn episodes because my God, there's a lot that we need to discuss immediately. And I feel very different than I felt in part one of Pod Week. I was annoyed in part one of Pod Week, but now I feel a rage that is bubbling deep inside me like no one has ever seen.
No one has ever seen.
So let's talk about it. But first, we got to take a quick pause. So, hey, these pod episodes stressed me out. They stressed me out, okay? But I guess I'm on one right now because, let me confess something, I am deep in my holiday stress era. I'm talking, you know, the lists, the group chats, travel, and apparently my jaw is also participating because I have been clenching like crazy. And listen, I've always been a grinder. It's true. Years of it. And unfortunately, that has caused pain and teeth issues for me. A dentist once told me that I needed a night guard until they told me the price, and I nearly ground my teeth into a dust right there. But then I found Remy. Thank goodness. If you're one of the 30% of of adults who grind their teeth, Remy is the move. I am telling you, Remy is the move. Their custom night guards give you the same professional quality as the dentist, but they cost 80% less and are so much more convenient. And yes, you can even use your HSA, FSA at checkout.
It is really the easiest process ever. Remy sends the impression kit straight to your door with step-by-step instructions, and they include extra material in case you need a redo. Love that. You send it back, and they craft your custom fit night guard right here in the U.S. The fit is amazing, lightweight, thin, super comfortable, nothing like those bulky store-bought ones, and Remy backs it with a 45-night perfect fit guarantee or your money back. Honestly, it's one of the best investments I've made for my teeth, and again, 80% less than the dentist.
80% less than the dentist. It is wild, family. And wearing mine has made such a difference. My jaw feels more relaxed. I sleep better. And the guard is so thin, I forget it's even in. And if I ever lose it, aka if Arthur the dog gets to it first, replacing it doesn't send me into a financial panic because it's still 80% less. And because it's the holidays, Remy is giving customers their 2-in-1 foam cleaner plus teeth whitener free when you order a night guard now through December 24th. So try Remy risk-free. Go to shopremy.com/momdad and use code momdad to get 55% off your night guard plus your free foam gift. That's shopremy.com/momdad with code momdad for 55% off. shopremy.com/momdad, code momdad. Thank you, Remy. Okay, family, today we are here to discuss the Pods Part 2 episode of Love is Blind Season 9, which we are finally getting to. And here is the disclaimer that I will say in front of every episode. We know that this season has been out for a few months, but your father and I, we know nothing. We know no spoilers, and we don't know anything about these people.
We are reacting in real time to our information we are receiving.
All we have seen at this point so far is up to episode 5. Actually, that's a lie. We watched the first 8 minutes of episode 6.
We had to conclude the situation.
Because we had to conclude the situation. We couldn't leave our family hanging here. Yes. And I also needed to know for myself. But we know nothing of these people. So if we say that we love somebody and they've done something terrible, it's because we don't know. Mm-hmm. And I can't check online because if I look online, I'm going to get spoilers.
Great.
So,
love it.
Disclaimer, we know nothing. We're reacting in real time. And I can say that about the Pod Week Part 1 too, because I had started to have feelings and now I have more definitive feelings about things. But in Pod Week Part 1, we had only watched up to episode 2.5, halfway through 3. Anyway, let's get into this.
All right.
So, episodes 3, 4, and 5, let's break down couple by couple per usual.
Sounds great. Love it. Let's
and
do this.
I would like to start out with, in my deepest heart, enemy number one. And that is the triangle that is Nick and Kate and Annie and Brendan. And when I say enemy number one, I'm fixated on Nick and I feel bad including Kate and Brendan in these things, but let's talk about them.
Yeah. Definitely the youngest feeling crew. Like, I felt like I was watching high school drama. Like,
yes,
it was, you know what I mean? Something about it did not feel like the other seasons of this show that we watched where people are talking about marriage. Like, the fact that these people are talking about marriage at all is actually mind blowing to me.
Yeah. I feel like just this entire cast so far like maybe the youngest we've had. And I don't think that's the case.
No, it's an emotional maturity that I feel like we're dealing with. But it really does feel like a bunch of 20-year-olds.
Which,
like, it does not feel like, in the past, there's been people that, like, really feel mature.
Yeah.
Got their shit together, energy people.
Yes.
Like, Megan's the only one that kind of feels like that. Everyone else in the season.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple people. But I'm just saying, like, in general,
KB.
That's true. Maybe I'm just really focused on these, like, four or five people, but, like, it really does have a young energy to it, like a kind of toxic vibe. It's very strange.
Yeah, it's no good. It's great television, but the cast is no good.
It is icky.
And I don't have high hopes for any of these future relationships, to be perfectly honest.
Let's dive into these absolute bizarros here.
So let's talk about Nick, okay? Yeah. Nick is a, he buys and sells luxury watches. And I just want to say to anyone who is thinking about getting involved in the watch business with him, I'll throw allegedly onto this because I have no evidence, but I feel like he will steal from you.
Kind of has that energy. Also has the energy that like he's selling himself as like, I go to these places and sell watches to like billionaires. I think what he does is he buys watches online and sells them on eBay and tries to make a profit. That's the energy I get.
I'm getting that he tells you that it's a certain brand and it's a duped version of that brand. I think that it's a little bit of a fake situation.
He's selling Casios that have a Rolex thing on it. Yeah, you know, something.
I'm picturing the long trench coat, you know, in the park. Hey, check this out. Opens it up and there's a bunch of watches hanging down and it's like, hey, let's make a deal with these watches. That's the vibe I'm getting a little bit. He also just overall gives me the energy of, I feel like he's in the wrong era. He gives me a guy from a movie like in the 1930s.
Interesting.
Being like, hey, broad, come over here. Watch this. I got a little dance for you.
Yeah.
Except he's the pervy version.
See, it's funny. I don't get that at all.
I do.
I get homeschooler.
Sure, that too.
Kind of like doesn't really have a grasp on what's going on. Kind of has this character he's built to be like, women love when you are a baller. You know what I mean?
And but then he's shows the 1940s up.
Right. But it's not like it doesn't. It feels very ingenuine. It feels like he's playing this character. He says weird shit constantly. It seems like he's kind of socially awkward and has created this character that he thinks that like is hot. I don't know, because it seems it's like there's like Mike who's got this like, what's up, man? I'm cool. But it feels genuine. It feels like he's genuinely into like biohacking and like saunas and babes love this. And that's his actual vibe. Nick feels like it's disjointed and kind of it's clunky.
But hear me out. Okay. First of all, I'd like to make a caveat. When you're throwing out shade about homeschoolers, Evan and I,
it's not, hold on. We've been homeschooled.
Evan and I were both homeschooled.
It's not homeschooling's bad. It's like the kind of, it's like you, it's like an archetype of like someone who's maybe socially not.
Listen, you know. We hear you, King. I'm just making something very clear.
Yeah, of course.
Is that, listen, homeschooled here. So please don't come for my people.
Yeah.
But hear me out.
Yeah.
He's playing a character.
Right.
Hence.
He's not honest.
Hence my 1940s vibes.
Yeah.
He's an actor in one of those 1940s movies that's understood. Like, hey, Julie, come over here and bake me a cake. Maybe I'm very wrong in my character assessment, but I guess I'm getting hit with this guy who in the first few minutes of describing himself to Kate says that he, his whole deal is that he goes on lifts in the snow and makes martinis on the lift and that people film him. And he's like, people love it. They film me. I bring all my own stuff for the martinis.
This is the worst guy in the world.
Are you not? This is the 1940s. Okay.
Yes.
He's got his martinis. He's like, I sell luxury watches, you dame. And he goes around and tells all these people, I love you. Yeah. I love you. Do you love Jesus? Oh, turns out I'm also the worst person on the planet. And I'm an absolute creep.
Oh my gosh. When he's a lot of people think I'm a playboy. Skiing every weekend. I'm like, those two things have never. Everyone's like, I love him, but he's a bad boy. He skis every weekend. I was like, what, dude? I don't think you're right. I wish I could go back to my, I don't want to go back to my ex. He's so toxic. He skis every weekend. It's a nightmare. It's powder here, powder there. It's skis. It's very funny.
Everything about this man is just upsetting and confusing. Also, I know I'm jumping way ahead, but this is time jumping way ahead. But during the reveal, when Annie said, wow, he looks really different. I guess I just pictured a mountain man the whole time.
Right.
And I'm like, on what planet did he ever give you mountain man?
Probably from her, him going like, I jump out of planes. I do this. I think he's kind of like, I'm an adventure rugged energy. So she was thinking he's like rough and tough.
I guess I've just never heard a mountain man say, hey, I'm your like Walmart Zac Efron.
I mean, definitely.
Like, from everything from his intonation to his energy to the things
he said, where, ma'am, are you getting Mountain Man? And what is happening? Okay, so this is how he introduces himself. And within those first few minutes, we get that from him. Yeah. But we also get him telling Kate that he, one of his favorite ways to pick up women is to wait until a kid falls on the slopes and then start like making a martini. And that's funny.
Right.
And then he starts talking about how he thinks it's funny when kids get hurt. And they're so bouncy.
Yeah.
And I have never been more upset and freaked out. And when you couple this with a conversation that he had later with Annie about how he wants to spank his kids and that he believes that them being reprimanded is important, I'm like, hey, get him off my screen.
Yeah.
Nobody get engaged to this guy. Get him off my screen. Yeah. I mean, truly, truly upsetting.
Yeah. I mean, and then, you know, when you look at just his whole conversations with Kate and Annie.
Yeah.
Highly sexual, awkwardly sexual. Oh, everything's God. Like, there was one point, I don't remember even who asked, maybe it was Annie or whatever. She was like, how do you deal with conflict resolution?
Yeah.
And he's like, I love makeup sex. Like everything was like that. It was always like, what I'm going to do to you is going to blow your mind. I'm a freak in the sheets. Here's this, here's that, here's this. Every little like comment he would turn into a sexual pun.
Every
like really overdoing
thing.
It. It was a really uncomfortable energy. And I was blown away that he had two women being like, tell me you love me.
I literally could not even believe it. The amount of the hypersexualization and everything from when he's talking with Annie and he's like, here's a riddle, like the carpet beneath Annie soaking wet, to him nonstop talking about his penis. Sir, I never want to hear about your penis ever again. Sir, I'm begging you. You talk about having a chode one second, the next second you talk about how in the guy's group chat that you're talking about that your dick's curly.
Yeah.
Why are we
what
having
are
these conversations? What, sir? Simply, what are you talking about? And please never do it again.
Yeah.
It was, and that was the thing that was interesting though. So we had him and Kate's relationship. So we don't ever get to know a lot about Kate, but what I know of Kate, she's awesome.
She seemed great.
She seemed amazing. Her moments in the on the women's side, she was funny and charming.
Yeah.
And then her moments that we see with her in the pods with Nick, she was funny. She also had a strength to her. The fact that she was willing to share about, you know, when Nick ends up bringing up initially, he brings up, hey, are you, he's like, I'm, you know, a man of God. Like, are you religious? And she's like, no, in fact, I lost my mother after a treacherous battle with cancer, which made me think, how can there be a God when this type of pain exists?
Sure.
It was such a incredibly vulnerable.
It was just real too. It was like a real thing.
It was so real. And I feel like on these shows, we miss that a lot.
Yeah.
And that was such like a question that everyone and everyone everywhere is battles with. And the fact that she was willing to hear someone say, hey, I'm super religious. And then she's like, well, these are the questions that I had. And I don't know. And then she continued to stick to her guns.
Yeah.
The fact that after he was making all the love declarations to her, which we'll talk about in a second, she stuck to her guns and would not tell him that she loved him back.
Yeah.
So everything about her, I'm obsessed.
No, she's great.
I'm really disappointed. I feel like when I'm talking shit on some of these cast members and saying like this season, I feel like it's because there were a handful of really people that seemed really wonderful, but they all went home.
Yeah.
And so
I think that's a more beautiful thing though. Like you're looking at that as negative. I actually think it's good. Cause it's like, wait, you know what I mean? Like Annie and Nick have a similar kind of not great vibe that I'm not into. They found each other. It's like, cool. What would have sucked is if Kate hooked up with Nick and then is dealing with all this bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there is something to like, it's sad for them that they didn't make it on the show, but it's also like dodged a, you know, a situation.
That's
so
true.
It's kind of like whatever, but with the Nick thing and the Kate thing, he did the thing that a classic kind of like super Christian people that are hiding that don't want to talk about it do in the beginning, where it's like, He goes, are you religious? She goes, no, because of this, that. And he goes, I have a very personal, secret relationship with God, which is always kind of like, oh, like, I don't want to say what I really believe, which is like, yeah, hell yeah, I'm religious, but I don't want you to whatever thing. Because then later on, we see that he goes, that's actually the reason why we can't be together, is because you said that you didn't say this, and I would have never even pursued you if I'd have known you weren't, you know, into God and wanted to return to that path, he said. I thought at least if you weren't into it now, you'd want to return to it. And you never told me that. And now we're both hurt. Like, he made religion the whole thing.
Yeah, that gaslighting was unbelievable.
So it was really interesting, this whole kind of like, and then also the hypersexuality while being super religious was kind of like, well, that's kind of a weird, you're the most sexual guy and the most like vulgar guy on the entire show.
Yeah.
Yet you're the guy that's like claiming your religion. It was really kind of bizarre there too. I was kind of like, what, this isn't matching.
I mean, because, you know, and I hate to say it, we'll talk about it in a second, but there's another conversation that Nick had that I'm like, oh, bad guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I sorry, I know reality TV does edits, but there's
no editing around this.
Sorry. Nope. But yeah, it was interesting because he had his dynamic with Kate, but then on, which was a very, it seems like they were talking about more like deeper things together. Mm-hmm. And he then said, you know, Kate right away was saying Kate's my person. And he declared his love to Kate so fast. They were literally sitting there and he just out of nowhere goes, you know what? I got to shout it from the rooftops. I love you.
Yeah.
I love you, dame. I love you, my broad. I love you so much.
I love you like an old fashioned on the rocks.
I
love you like a gin and tonic, sweetheart.
I love you like a gin and tonic and a piano on a Saturday night with a little bit of rain and a little bit of style.
He's playing while he's saying it.
But he came out of nowhere and said it.
Whoa.
And her response, like I said, was, she was like,
thank you.
That's amazing. And I feel like we're already like boyfriend, girlfriend. And he was calling her girlfriend. And he's like, well, just don't feel pressure to have to say it right away. But I just want you to let you know that I love you. But she doesn't say it right away. And then on the flip side, he's got this relationship with Annie that from what I saw, from what we saw, was only sexual conversation. They didn't have any conversation that didn't involve sex, except for one. And we'll talk about it in a moment because we do have to take a quick pause. Okay, family, that quick pause. So if you've been following my personal quest to find some actual calm lately, you know it's been a journey. And this season of Love is Blind is not helping me, okay? But for real, my brain loves to replay every awkward moment and mistake of my entire life the second I try to relax. But recently, I found something that's genuinely been helping, and that's Amantara. Formerly Minnesota Nice, same team, same incredible products, just a new name and a bigger mission. Amantara focuses on natural plant medicines that help people relax, reset, and reconnect with themselves, especially Amanita muscaria, which has been used for centuries for relaxation, dream support, and sleep. And it has genuinely helped me like a lot.
Amantara was founded by Christian Rasmussen, who used Amanita muscaria in his own recovery journey. His journey is what inspired the entire company. Now, these plants and fungi aren't magic bullets. Recovery is a complex matrix of support, but they're a tool that's helping so many find calm. They're now the number one supplier of Amanita muscaria in the U.S., trusted by over 30,000 people, and everything is sourced through a network of over 40 trusted distributors that ensure ethical sourcing, working directly with families worldwide who earn several times more harvesting for them than they would in traditional jobs, supporting sustainable practices and local communities. And beyond Amanita, they have Blue Lotus gummies and tea, my personal favorite, and Jess loves the reishi for sleep.
Oh my gosh, I love their reishi. And what I also love most is that Amantara isn't just like, here, take this. The whole thing is education first. Their website has dosing guides, which I highly recommend if you're interested.
interested, community stories, and super clear info so you actually understand what you're taking and how to use it in a safe, intentional way. If you're curious or if you're looking for more balance, it's all right there. So if you're ready to find a little calm, check them out. Go to amantara.com/go/momanddad and use code MOMANDDAD22 for 22% off your first order. That's amantara.com/go/momanddad, code MOMANDDAD22. Much love. Okay, so back to Nick, my least favorite person ever, and Annie.
Yeah.
So after Nick lets Annie know, you know, how much of, in his words, by the way, I'm not exaggerating, how much of a horn dog he is, and that unfortunately he can't Google titties while he's in the pods, and how he's all sorts of backed up, which is what we all really wanted to hear about, you know, what a love story. I'm no prude, but my God. After he lets her know all of that, he has his one, it seems like, serious conversation with Annie. First of which is a conversation that we brought up earlier about his thoughts on disciplining his children.
Yep.
And what her thoughts were. And it's a very upsetting conversation, very upsetting. And then from there, he goes into asking her how she would react if her kids said that they were LGBTQ+.
Mm-hmm.
And then we find out some things about Annie as well, when she says that she would love her kids, but she'll make sure they are informed. Excuse me, what? And then he says, don't you feel like this is a fad? And she says 100%. And I go, oh, you guys deserve each other.
Yeah. Like, that was the moment.
The fact that I'm like, we're sitting here, and it was very upsetting to be like, it was just a window into the world, because I think you and I live in like a very progressive place.
Sure.
That I think I'm like, are we for real right now? Is this seriously a conversation? And yet here it's happening.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is the reality, and just how important this conversation was, just, you know, an echo chamber of how important it is to make sure that who we're voting for, standing up for people, like the pushing of equality. I mean, all of this. Okay. But I just, and then he starts laughing, and he's like, it's so hilarious. You won't even believe. So funny. One time, essentially, when I was in high school, my mom thought I was gay. Isn't that funny? And again, number one, what's funny
came
about
out
this?
Of nowhere. It was so random.
Number two came out of nowhere. And number three, listen, I'm not someone who's going to be making guesses and diving into someone's sexuality, but I'll just leave this here. Feels like something's being repressed.
Yeah.
Just in general. And what I hope for everyone is that you will be freed of that repression, and that you will know yourself, and that you will feel love for yourself, and then start to feel love for other people,
right,
and give equality to other people. Okay. So that's where I'll leave that.
Yeah.
But my jaw was on the floor during this conversation.
Super weird, super bad, super shitty, hated it. Saying informed, and then in the same breath saying, you know, letting them know what life they're choosing. Like, it's like, what world are you talking? It's just super ignorant bullshit conversation that was like really sad and revealing and really, you know, already wasn't a fan, but it really changed it into like, you guys are, it's bad.
It's bad.
Really bad. So,
and in that moment, I was like, well, I sure hope that Kate gets the hell out of there, because the energy that I got from Kate is that if she would have heard that conversation, she would have hightailed it out of there.
Yeah,
she would have been like, no way. So, okay, breaking this down, we have Nick and Kate who have their dynamic. He's declared his love for her.
Yes.
But whilst he's declared his love for her, he's still having these wildly sexual conversations with Annie, and also telling Annie he wants to fight for her and be her guy. Okay.
Picture of life together and the whole thing.
So you're like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. So it's a disaster. And then we have Annie, who's also connected with a guy named...
Oh, real quick. He's also saying to Kate,
yeah,
I would never be like a like play both. Like he was like, I would never be like two girls at the same time. I'm loyal. Like he was really harping on this. Like I would never tell two people that I have feelings for them. Like, so it was also just like he was doubling down on how bad it was.
Yes. So you're just like, it just gets worse and worse.
Yeah, yeah, really bad.
And then we have Annie, who also is connected to Brendan.
Yeah.
Now in her ITMs, she was talking about how Brendan's actually was her number one guy.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, family, I have to say this.
No, let's do the disclaimer. I think it's good.
Family, I am so sorry. You know me, I'm normally talking about how I'm like, the sound, do you hear that cricket? Do you hear that clicking in the background? And apologize. We have construction going on in our neighbor's house, 5 feet from us.
Microphones right now.
And we've been trying to wait and record, but like we just...
They're building decks and sawing things in half and metals clanging around. So if you hear it, apologies.
So sorry.
We don't really have other options right now.
Yes,
so please forgive us if you hear, yeah, bang, dish, dish, dish. If you hear it, please be gracious with us because we are out of options. There's nowhere for us to go. It's endless and it's on week 47.
That was crazy.
Yeah. Just want to let you know.
Sound trying to record. So anywho, thank you for being gracious
with us.
We are trying our very, very bestest. And also apologies if I'm yelling into the mic or talking loud and fast. Part of it is my reflexes to try to cover up when I'm hearing hammering or sawing.
Yes.
So just and putting that scene. Out there.
Okay. And anyway.
What is this podcast anymore?
We're melting. We're melting. We're losing it.
Okay. Anywho, so we don't get to know Brendan that much.
Mm-mm.
From what I see of his dynamic with Annie, he seems like I don't know how I feel about him.
Yeah, just kind of up against Nick, nice guy.
Up against Nick, he seems great.
Like definitely cocky, definitely kind of has a Mike vibe to him where he's kind of like, remember at one point he goes like, dude, like Annie's talking to someone else.
Yeah.
And I'm looking around the room going, who could you possibly, like, no one compares. So he's got that kind of cock. I think it's compensation energy. I think he's a guy who's trying to act, you know, because even his whole relationship with Annie in the pods is very, like, laid back. She's always like, I need a little bit more from you. I need some more affirmation. And he's just kind of like, it's all good.
Yeah.
You know, so he's trying to play it cool. He's trying to be Mr. Cool Guy. You see it when the panic sets, when Annie puts the pressure on him, being like, I have this other connection that's more serious. That he panics into the like, I actually love you. I love you the best. You know what I mean? So there is this level of like the whole time he's been trying to be like, I'm not going to be the desperate guy that's going to give you the ick.
Yeah.
And it kind of bit him.
For sure. Because so he, let me make something clear. I don't think him and Annie absolutely would have worked at all.
No, no.
I don't. They already were bickering day one, miscommunications day one. I do think that Annie, her number one and only concern is getting married. The only thing she talked about
day one in the pods, that was kind of her big thing, was like, I don't even care if you're like, as long as you're breathing,
doesn't
put the ring, let's go. That's all I care about.
The only thing she cared about was talking about her ring and getting married. That's all she cared about. And so my opinion is, whoever said I love you to her first was going to win. Whoever proposed first was going to win. It doesn't matter who it was.
She had the vibe of like, all my friends are married. I don't want to be the last one. This is a nightmare. I gotta get it done.
100%. And so it's just like, it doesn't matter who it would have been. She would have said yes to whoever.
Yeah.
That was the energy, no question. And so with Brendan, she was constantly saying, I need more, I need more, I need more. Brendan was kicking back on his heels. Eventually, though, he found out that there was a Nick in the mix. Mm-hmm. And like you said, he then tried to ramp up, but it was a little too late. It was so funny to me, though, when Annie then came to Brendan eventually when she was locked in with Nick. And she was just like, it was like they'd been in a relationship for 10 years. Mm-hmm. She was like, you've never loved me. You've never expressed to me how you feel about me.
Yeah.
You never care. You never said a word.
Yeah,
and he was
like,
I literally 5 minutes ago told you, like, what should our house look like? What color door do you want? I want whatever you want. I'm fully in. Mm-hmm. I want everything that I want to be with you. And she's like, you've never said a word to me of affirmation. It was just like, okay.
It's so dramatic.
Just a nightmare.
It's so dramatic.
So basically we have this foursome and Nick ends up having a conversation with Kate where he hears from her when he asks, would you be open to eventually going back to religion?
And but this was after she called his ass out for telling her, like, he had said to her, I love you. And then he's like, by the way, I have another connect. He's like, what are you talking about? You just told me.
Oh my gosh,
so that was
yes.
the whole beef, was that, like, she's like, you're kind of pulling away now / telling me that you have this super other strong connection. And you told me you loved me like yesterday. And she's like, that's bullshit. You're pissing me off. He's losing ground.
Yeah.
He's losing the moral high ground in his mind.
Yes.
That like, I'm the best guy. So then he goes, I got to find something wrong with her and gaslight her for this. So he starts like investigating.
Yes.
And he goes, well, I mean, you're religious, right? And she's like, no. And he's like, see, you're bad too.
Yeah. Well,
like,
yes. He said, would you ever be down to go back to your relationship with God or religion?
Right.
And she said, absolutely not. And he's like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Because he was like, you said you grew up religious. And she's like, he's like, yeah, maybe. But like, I'm not religious now. He's like, well, I thought you'd be coming back to the Lord. It was a whole weird,
well,
like.
No, she said I never was religious. And he goes, what?
You said that
after your mother passed away that you said that you didn't believe. And she's like, yeah, because I just validated things. And he's like, but that you insinuated that you had. I mean,
at least you could have stored 20 years of religion as a coin for heaven. Like, it was really weird.
It was the level of manipulation that he was trying to do. He was just trying to pull out any tool he could to figure out how to make himself not appear as bad by ending a relationship with her.
Because then he goes, we're over. And then he goes, we're both hurt. Because she's like, you hurt me. And he's like, we're both hurt. And it sucks. It sucks that we're both hurt. Like, he needed something to make it mean I'm not the bad guy. We're both at fault here.
The way in which he had said, I love you and I'd do anything for you. I'd lay down my... He literally was telling this woman he'd like lay down his life for her. And then they had one sentence of a disagreement.
You got a little flack for being an asshole.
They had one sentence of a disagreement where she said, no, I couldn't be religious. And he goes, I can't do this anymore. It's over.
Yeah.
I've never seen a flip-flop happen ever like that ever on my screen.
Then goes in the pods and says, I think I made a massive mistake.
Yes.
Remember that he was talking?
Yes.
So it's like he did the, like, I'm cutting you off to maintain my high ground. Then it was like, oh, I think I might have messed it up. I might like her the most. I don't know. But well, we're here now. Then runs over to Annie. And
yes.
He's like, I love you. You're my one forever.
Yes.
I had to break up with this girl because she was the worst. And so you're my number one now.
He gets in the pause and he's like, I prayed to God that I would have a revelation when I woke up this morning. And by golly, I got into these pods. And Annie, you're my revelation. Did I forget to mention that there was one moment where in the pods I said to you, oh, I just love your name. It's so sexy. I can imagine myself just going, oh, Annie,
yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, God, that was gross.
What was that?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you absolutely kidding me? And then he declares his love for her.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh my God, same. Even though she was more into Brendan, but all she cares about is getting married.
Yeah.
So she says, oh my God, same. You're
That's
my king. You're my guy. You're my guy. And eventually there's a little back and forth with him and Brendan, but he proposes. Brendan doesn't know he's going to propose. Brendan thinks he still has a shot. And then Nick comes literally skipping into the men's quarters and he's like, I'm getting married, fellas. And
Brendan's like melting in the corner.
And then Nick tries to like have a convo with him. And Brendan's
like, now get away from me, dude.
Yeah. I want nothing to do with you. And what I found to be interesting, by the way, is that it seemed like all the men supported Brendan.
Oh, big time.
And they were like, your character is awesome, Brendan. And the only guy who was like there for Nick was Mike. And that said something. That said
something.
And
later on, Nick calls him the most eligible bachelor ever. And that
he calls
she will
oh, Mike
need,
the most eligible.
Yeah, and then she'll need an EpiPen when she sees you in real life.
So he's a fan of the show because he's quoted in the show. So eventually we get to the Nick and the Annie reveal.
Correct.
And Kate and Brendan have left us. Listen.
Seems to go well. I mean, in regards to just like no one seems to be radically shocked or unattracted to each other.
The
seems
only
like
thing
it's,
that she right away is like, oh, so
like
you like your hair like
right.
that? And I go, oh, we're already, this is going to be interesting. Because the fact that she's already having, imagine being brazen enough to right away go, oh, your hair's short. You like it like that?
I think a lot more brazen than like we realize. Like, I think people will just say like crazy shit to their partners too. But like, that's on another level to be like, you're going to use the few precious moments you have on meeting the quote love of your life to let them know you hate their hair. Pretty shocking.
I mean,
like, what if you would have just been like, yeah, that dress is ugly. Like, that would have been insane, right?
Oh, you're going to wear that dress?
Yeah, like, which I wouldn't have put him past. I feel like he kind of was on brand for that.
No.
But they, I will say, there we've had far worse reactions. So, like, it was pretty, they seemed stoked.
I think that they were very into each other physically, and that made me mad.
You shouldn't have that.
No, I was looking at him like, of course, these two little demons just making out and cackling. I was like, ugh. But they, I think that they are going to run into some serious problems.
Duh.
Because he's a nightmare. And the fact that she's already like, oh, I don't like this. He is not going to handle any criticism well.
Cannot wait.
He is not going to handle it. I mean, they are going to be a train wreck and a half. Okay. Yeah. A train wreck and a half. So... wow, that was a long run about them, but
they were kind of one of the hottest situations though, so we had to get into it.
I could not believe that I had to watch this man on my screen. I could not believe
it. Well, there's gonna be plenty more, baby.
And
let's
again,
get into
normally,
it.
Normally, I'm like, you know what? Like, yeah, it's reality TV and da da da. No. He is truly villainous.
He sucks.
He's truly villainous. And I don't even know what we're in store for. So let's move on to the next couple that we need to discuss. Another villainous moments.
Yes.
But first, let's take a quick pause. So this show might be stressing me out, but I have sure been cozy watching it. I've officially entered my winter hibernation era. Like, the second daylight savings hit, I said good night to society and hello to my couch. And let me tell you why. It is my Lola blanket, okay? I am not exaggerating. This blanket has become my entire personality. The first time I touched it, I gasped. I literally said out loud, wait, what is this? Okay. It feels like someone bottled up a cloud, added a little bit of like velvet magic and said, here, babe, you deserve this softness. Okay. I wrapped myself in it and immediately texted Evan, cancel plans. I live here now. And let me tell you what, hear me out. I am a blanket person. I am a blanket connoisseur, if you will. I have been through so many blankets in my life. Nothing, and I repeat, nothing compares to Lola. Nothing. The vegan faux fur, out of this world, the four-way stretch, immaculate. The way it instantly makes my whole living room look like a cozy, gorgeous winter chalet. I feel like the lead character in a holiday romance movie. This is my go-to holiday gift this year, too. It feels personal, luxurious, and honestly, every time someone comes over to our house anyways and feels it, they're like, what is this? I need one immediately. So yeah, that's the holiday gift, and everyone will love me and be obsessed with me because I'm giving it to them.
She's not exaggerating. It really is unbelievable. And there's a reason Lola is the world's number one blanket. The quality is next level.
It's next level.
Ultra soft luxury, vegan faux fur, the signature four-way stretch, double hemmed edges, and it's machine washable. No pilling, no shedding, no flattening. Even after tons of washes, it still looks brand new. I don't know what kind of sorcery this is, but I respect it. I love it. And the sizes, the large is perfect for snuggling on the couch, but the XL, baby, the XL, they literally call it the biggest blanket on the internet. I don't know if that's scientifically verified, but emotionally, it feels true.
It is.
You could fit your whole family, your neighbors, maybe your intrusive thoughts under that thing. Also, matching pillows, weighted blankets, the whole line makes your home feel elevated without even trying.
And listen, you know it's good when your whole family and all your friends keep asking, like, where did you get that blanket? My mom is getting one now. My sister's obsessed, and I'm genuinely considering replacing every blanket in our house with Lola, because once you feel this, you can't go back. It's one of those rare gifts people actually use every day. Cozy mornings, movie nights, seasonal decorating. It's the missing piece that makes your home feel warm and inviting. I am telling you, I am not exaggerating. This is the best blanket on the planet. It is the softest blanket. I need it right now. I need to be wrapped in it right now. So give the gift of softness this holiday season. Lola Blankets is truly the ultimate cozy gift. For a limited time, our listeners are getting a huge
40% off their entire order at lolablankets.com by using code MOMDAD at checkout. Just head to lolablankets.com and use code MOMDAD for 40% off. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Wrap yourself or someone you love in luxury with Lola Blankets. That's a great deal. 40%.
Fantastic.
I'm going to get some more. Alrighty, so let's talk Patrick and Kelsey. So last we left Patrick, Anna had left without a trace.
Yes.
Ghosted him, did not say goodbye to him, and he was feeling very sad about that. And our hearts hurt for Patrick because Anna was definitely Patrick's number one in that moment. So then he's going back and forth. He's debating, do I continue my journey and keep pursuing Kelsey because she was my second?
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. Side note, the guys on the men's side stink. Yeah. He's like, there were numerous scenes of Patrick feeling sad, and the way that these men did nothing to comfort him and would just like laugh and like have another beer and keep playing pool was just sending me to the moon.
Correct.
And then at one point they were like, yeah, dude, you don't want to be with Anna anyways, right? You said that you guys had like too much in common. Even like, you don't want to like fuck your twin, or he said something wild. I'm like, these guys, I'm like, Patrick, don't listen to any of the men on the men's side of the pod, okay? We don't trust them.
Yeah.
But he decided to keep pursuing his relationship with Kelsey. He did say, you know, I know we had our opinions about her and their one of their conversations in our last episode. But he said that during his conversation about his insecurities and about interracial relationships, that she made him feel like the most comfortable. So he felt comfortable in that conversation, which is what matters.
Do you mean
so
with Anna or with Kelsey?
With, he said that about Kelsey.
Yeah. So personally for me, everything changed when Anna left. Like, I think he then started really lying to himself.
Oh, okay.
Because remember, he tells Kelsey, I broke it off with her.
Oh, I forgot about
right?
that.
Right? She left. And he lies to her and says, oh, there was this other girl, by the way, but I broke it off with her. So like, I'm really focused on you now. Then all of a sudden Anna is like, fucking my twin. I'm not into it. It's too similar. Yeah. Where the day before he was like, this is like, maybe is this, is my girl. He literally said, I think this is my girl.
Yeah.
So what I think happened was this. Kelsey made him feel insecure. Mm-hmm. When he talks about all his insecurities, she didn't reinforce it in a good way that made him feel confident. He's really rattled by her. Anna's making him feel warm and fuzzy and connected. Anna leaves. Mm-hmm. He now feels completely alone. Mm-hmm. Now he goes, I either leave or I stick with Kelsey now, but I'm rattled by her. And he is through the whole period. So then he starts lying to himself. He starts saying things like, I'm going to walk in power and I'm going to feel this. And I feel so strong about our connection. And I'm so just like blindly confident in our connection. And we have this amazing this and we have this and we have that. And she makes me feel so seen. And it's like, dude, everything you're saying is a lie.
Yeah.
Everything became a lie to convince himself that it was good.
Yeah. Well, I even noticed too, like in their conversation, the first one that they had when they, oh my gosh, is it Casey? And I've been saying Kelsey.
It's Casey, yeah. But you know what? Very close. Just an L off.
Do you know what's
a
funny?
A single L off.
Is I think in even like the episode notes, I think in the last podcast episode, I said
Kelsey.
Kelsey the whole time.
Maybe she's Kelsey then.
Sorry, everybody. I think I wrote in the episode notes and everything too. Okay, Casey.
Yeah, wow.
When him and Casey have their first conversation, when they get when they're in the pods post Anna leaving, the fact that he right away starts talking about like how attractive he is, and he keeps talking about like how hot he is, and it's gonna kind of blow her mind and all that stuff. You know, it felt very much like, just to echo what you were saying, where it's like Casey had made him feel insecure, so now he's doubling down in this way to be like, just FYI, I'm super attractive. Like, even though he had has his insecurities, and he's like trying to, you know,
yeah. And I think he also kind of did the panic vulnerability thing, which is like you get too vulnerable and you talk about it too much. Because then it kind of became like a constant theme, and they kept talking about it. And then the more that she wouldn't reinforce him, the more he would talk about it. And so I think what he was doing is reaching for her to kind of like give him something that she wasn't giving him. Then it takes a turn, and this is what's really interesting. So then he kind of gets the ick. you notice. Like he's forcing this thing. Then you could tell it's like he starts feeling way too insecure about it. And he starts going, do you really want this?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of sharing over. He's sharing everything. He's kind of really laying his cards out on the table. It's not working. Mm-hmm. It's not going well. He's sensing the hesitation from her. Then he kind of starts to put the wall up, which was good. It was like, okay, mm-hmm. you're noticing this. Then they start getting into the weeds with her.
Yes.
And this is when the shift, the tide changes.
So she asks him, and we had had a moment with her where she was talking to KB, I believe. And she was talking about how her ex is obsessed with her looks.
Yes.
And like that they were having conversations before she went on the show. And then when she's in the pods with Patrick, she's like, so did they reach out to you? And he's like, no, I
applied
myself. And she's like, oh, well, other reality TV shows have reached out to me. And actually, there was one once and I was dating this guy and he told me that I should just go on it. And like, you know, basically be essentially what she was saying is that her ex told her to go on this, to go on a show and them still be together, essentially. And at the end of it, they'll reunite. So also, that she can get famous through a reality TV show.
Correct. And also kind of admitted to the fact that like she was dating right up until the show.
Correct.
Because she was like, it was this show. It was Love is Blind. It was another couple shows.
Yeah.
And he was down for it all. And then we kind of broke up right before I came on. Energy.
Yes.
So what it sounds like is this girl is Instagram, wants to be famous.
Mm-hmm.
Had a boyfriend who was down for it too. They were kind of like
had a boyfriend that was down to scam the system.
Exactly.
And like and her go on as a quote unquote single person.
Exactly.
But they and were so actually together.
She's giving away the cards, which is obviously making his insecurities even worse because he's yeah. going, I came on this actually for the real thing. She's going, oh, it's one of many I would have gone on. Because I look at it like a reality TV show, not actually to find someone. He's feeling all this.
Yeah. And it was so sweet because the way he said, he's like, well, you'll have to really set a hard boundary with him.
Yeah.
Like if they were to stay together. Like, and what was so interesting to me is that when he said, like, I don't have a backup plan. She's like, are you concerned about my commitment to you? And he's like, a little bit. And then she says, I'll block him immediately. And Patrick goes, well, hold up. I've had a lot of people screw me over. And then she says, maybe you should lighten up a little on me.
Yeah.
I really like you. And that was an interesting moment to me because her being like, okay, hold up.
Yeah.
Lighten up on me. I'm like, Casey, let's be very honest here. Do you realize what you just said to him?
Yes.
You literally are in the pods with this man and you're saying that you want to get engaged to him, that you yes. want him to declare to you how much he loves you. And you're trying yeah. to push him to express that more. Mm-hmm. And yet you're saying that you historically have had a partner who's willing to fake this whole thing out like you aren't in a relationship and you return to him at the end.
Right. Right.
Like, what do you mean lighten yeah. up on you? Yeah. Like, that's a wild
and
thing
your
to
dad
drop
says,
on somebody.
Being hot's the only thing that matters. yeah. And you said the only thing that connected you to your ex was how hot he was. Meanwhile, this guy's telling you the opposite, which is like my biggest insecurity is attraction
mm-hmm.
and how I don't want that to be the thing. So this is when she notices him pulling away. She mm-hmm. notices him starting to smell through it. She notices him starting to go, maybe this girl isn't what I thought she was. Maybe she's just here for the fame, just here for the thing, just here for the followers, only cares about hot guys, whatever. This is when she turns on.
Oh, she goes
the secret
she goes,
sauce.
Ba-na-na, ba-na-na,
she goes from zero sexuality,
ba-na-na,
zero tease, pretty straightforward, chill energy to literally, I have planned the most strip teases for my lovers, lingerie on the bed in a hotel. All I want to do is please you, give you what you want. Literally, this is word for word. This is not like, I'm not making this up. She goes, I'm going to put my mouth all over you.
She talks about her landing strip and then she'll take it off.
And he goes, yeah, you can take it off. That'd be cool. Like, it was hilarious to watch like her basically sexed him. Hardcore.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm going to put my mouth on it and all over you. And then I'm going to get on top of you and ride. Like, hardcore from zero to the most hardcore in the entire show. And he sits there and goes, sick. Yeah. What else?
When she goes, and then I'm going to sit on you. I fell out of my seat.
It was like, bro, she went, I'm losing him. We're losing him. And she got the pads out.
I was writing it down. I was like, text to Evan later.
No,
it, like, she was, so these are some good
lines.
She
clearly knew what she was doing, right? She busted out, but he was so uncomfortable
that
he was not liking it. You could tell. But what it did is it got him to forget about everything that had just happened.
True.
And like sexified his brain a little bit to make him think she does care about me. She does love me. And he immediately turned on the dime and was just like, I think I'm going to propose now.
Oh my gosh.
She's like, I got another one. Like, it's, I could do this in my sleep.
Well, yeah, when she was just like, I want to fuck you. I was like, oh my God.
Oh no, she's like, we're losing him. And she's like, let me bust out the big guns. And it got him right back.
I think I'll echo what you said. I think he was uncomfortable during that. Shoot, that
he did not.
Point.
He wasn't into it. He wasn't leaning back. He wasn't going, oh, I'm going to do this to you. He was like drinking so nervously.
Just a side note for Patrick. I'd like to just give him a little just constructive criticism. Patrick, I know it's probably hard to remember that you're on TV because you're sitting in the pods the entire time, but my guy, the amount that you were adjusting yourself and yanking on it was wild.
It was
like,
crazy.
Bro, it was like you need to be aware
like
that you're on
spreading
television.
And doing it. At least secretive.
And it was like, dude, it needs to stop. I get it. It's like if all of a sudden someone would start kind of like picking their nose a little bit or like, you know, kind of digging because you're like, oh, I'm not on camera.
You are
on camera. So just please, I don't think any of us really wanted like any.
Just be a little uncomfortable. We don't need you adjusting.
I think most of us didn't want 99% of the experiences that we had during these episodes 3, 4, and 5, but I didn't need that too.
Yeah.
But then he proposes, which I was like, okay, we're gonna do it. He proposes and they tell each other they love each other, and his speech was
hilarious. He's like, your fucking soul is timeless and shit. What else? I'm gonna choose you forever and shit.
He goes, I'm gonna choose you for infinity.
For infinity and shit, and fucking yeah, so anyway, play by play, I put my right leg down and fucking gonna propose to you and shit. So, yeah, he bro'd up twice. He double bro'd.
He double bro'd. And then he said, let's go 1,000 times.
Yeah, let's go.
He went hard on the let's go.
It was so much stress over the last 3 days that it just let's go'd.
Oof. Well, then we get to the reveal. And by the way, she's like, in IDMs, she says, I might have to put some underwear on because I may pee my pants. And I'm like, Casey,
we know what you're doing.
You might have to put some underwear on. Like, I mean,
that's for the audience. That's for the male audience to be like, I want to DM her after this.
Listen, Casey. And again, you know, I'm all about it. I'm all about it. You do your thing, queen. Well, I'm not going to call you queen because of what you end up doing.
Yeah, right.
But like, it was so obvious. Instead of just saying I might pee my pants, be like, I might have to put on some underwear before I pee my pants. Anyways, it made me laugh.
Yeah.
And she's like, I hope he thinks I'm hot as shit. And she says, I've never dated someone who looks like him. And for me, it's always been looks based. And I'm like, okay, here we go. So bless him, he comes in. He is so nervous.
He's literally dying.
He is so nervous. And he
for no reason. This killed me.
He called her tight.
Yeah, he says she's tight.
She's so tight, which is surfer, snowboarder, bro.
What the thing that made me laugh the most was he nervously and for no reason moved them into awkward lighting offset.
He's like, just talking about
like perfect middle. Everything's lit gorgeously. Everyone looks amazing. And then he's like, hold on, let's fucking go over here. And he takes her behind the bench where like brutal awkward lighting is like shining directly down, and I don't like, he just needed to do something, so that's what he did.
He's like, what do I do with my hands?
Over here, and he just took her in the worst lighting possible.
Oh my god.
He's like, this is nice. And then they do it, and it was so awkward. But one thing I will say, she kind of had me for a minute because she wasn't obvious with her unattraction at first.
Yeah.
They were kissing the most, I think, out of everyone. Mm-hmm. They were making out the whole time. She was touching him and holding him, grabbing him, mm-hmm. told him he was handsome way more than anyone else had told anyone how gorgeous or handsome
she's
they were.
A good actor.
She was smiling. She didn't like Joe did the like, I'm not going to compliment you. I can't say it.
Yeah.
I'm awkward. She sold it, man. Like sold I it. Was pleasantly surprised. I was like, maybe she's actually into him.
Yeah.
So that was interesting to me.
She's She's a good actor. So,
but then we knew everything was fucked when she walked back to the pod and she just takes a left and runs off. Normally what they do is they either look back, or if they don't look back, which we've seen now, is they go get another glass of champagne. They kind of look at themselves in the mirror. They kind of soak in the moment.
Breath.
She
hightailed
flung the wheel and just off the road. Yeah. Ran off there.
She hightailed it out of there.
Yeah. And Meltdown City pursued.
And then, of course, we watched the first 6 to 8 minutes of episode 6, which is Patrick and Casey after the reveal. So let's talk about that, but we got to take one more quick pause. So, family, I need a moment to decompress from the show and talk to you about something that truly gets me emotional in the best way. You know how every year we have those little holiday traditions. For us, it's baking cookies with Ember. Evan always burns the first batch. It's tradition.
Apologies.
He's, you know, that's the one thing I can bake a little better. You do everything else better than me.
No question about it.
You do everything else better than me.
Yes, there's no question about that.
We watched an old movies of Ember when she was tiny and all of that. Well, imagine being able to relive those moments every single day, not just in December. That is exactly what Aura Frames lets us do. You know that we've gifted Aura Frames to basically everyone in our family at this point, grandparents, aunties, cousins, and it's become this thread that keeps us all connected. This year, we're starting a new tradition. We're preloading our Aura gifts with old holiday photos so people open it and immediately see memories they forget existed. It's honestly the sweetest surprise, and something I love, you can upload unlimited photos and videos literally from everywhere. So like, I'll be on set, Ember will do something amazing, and boom, it's on my mom's frame within seconds. It feels like she's right there experiencing it with us. It's such a special way to bring your people into your everyday life, even when they're far away. Their Aura Frames is our favorite.
Yeah.
They're the best.
It really has become one of my favorite things we've ever given. It's so easy. Download the Aura app, connect to Wi-Fi, and instantly you're adding photos. You can preload the frame before you ship it too, which is genius if you're trying to win Christmas, which is what we all are.
Sure, of course. That's the point, right?
Yeah, and seriously, the quality is unreal. The photos look like actual prints, and every frame comes in this really premium gift box, no price tag, so you don't even have to wrap it. It's like the holidays cheat code. And I love that everyone in the family can contribute photos throughout the year. It turns into this sharing living room scrapbook thing. It's awesome.
You know, we've shared this story a few times, but Aura Frames is like so dear to our heart. Mm-hmm. Before my sweet grandma passed away a few years ago, we had gotten her an Aura Frame, and it was her most favorite thing on the planet. She would sit in her cute little chair and she'd have her Aura Frame set up, and we would send photos to her when we weren't with her, and she would then text us and be like, "Ooh, this picture just came up." And it was
really special.
It was so special. And then actually when she passed away, then we ended up taking that Aura Frame and we have it then playing in our house all the time, and it feels like she's still with us. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, I can't express to you, it's one of those things. It's like a forever thing, and it's
absolutely
a connector, and it's just my favorite. It really is. And listen, you can't wrap togetherness, but you can frame it. Aura Frames is that gift, the one that makes people tear up in the good way. Just making me tear up right now. So here's the deal. For a limited time, visit AuraFrames.com and get $45 off Aura's best-selling Carver matte frames, named number one by Wirecutter, by using promo code MOMDAD at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code MOMDAD. This exclusive Black Friday Cyber Monday deal is their best of the year, so order now before it ends. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. I'm telling you, this is the gift of the season. Go get it for someone you love or start a new tradition of your own. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code MOMDAD. All right. Let's talk about one of the most diabolical things we've ever witnessed.
Awkward, out of this world as well.
Just just truly horrendous. Horrendous behavior on the Love is Blind screens. Just a peak villain. Just to a level, to one, to honestly, like top five, in my opinion. So after the Patrick and Casey reveal, we see Casey then back in her hotel, and she's talking to producers, and she's like, "Patrick deserves someone better than me." And then she says, "He's not a bad looking guy in any sense, but he deserves somebody that's so obsessed with him." And the producer's like, "That's not you." And she goes, "No, I understand how it's about to look though."
So then Patrick shows up. And when I tell you this woman has koala'd onto him like I have never witnessed.
I mean, up until the end, she was jumping into his arms multiple times, too. It was like, dude, what is happening?
They're sitting there and she's like wrapped her body around them and she's smothered her face. And it's for a few reasons. Number one, she's hiding from the cameras. Number two, she's trying to hide her mic from the audio and bury it. Number three, she's trying to hide from him and avoid any questions. And it is diabolical because she clings on to him. She's starting to cry and he's like, hey, girl, what's you okay? You okay? And she's just like, I can't do this. Like, I have to go home. Like, I love you so much and you're so wonderful. Like, it has nothing to do with that. Like, I love you and like, I still love you, but like, I can't be here anymore. And like, I have to go home. Like, I just can't go to Mexico.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, so it's just, it's just Mexico.
You're just missing home.
Yeah. He's like, so basically like you don't feel like continuing. And every time she says something, he's like, oh yeah, I get what you're saying. Like the camera, the pressure is just too much for you.
We gotta get out of here.
And then she's like, I know yes, you're right. And she's like, but I can't believe I'm breaking your heart. And he goes, you're not breaking my heart. Like, we just aren't going to go to Mexico.
He said, breaking my heart. Not going to Baja is not breaking my heart.
Yeah. He's like, it's okay. And she's just like, yeah. It's so crazy though.
But it's not really just that. Yeah. And then she goes, and they're trying to make it look like I'm not into you physically, but that's so not the case. So she clarifies that. She goes out of her way to tell him, I don't want to break your heart. I love you so much. And it's not about the looks. I just need to go home. And so he's like using that information to go, yeah, I get it. Like you're going through, you're kind of traumatized by this. It's time to go.
Holding his face, being like, just so you know, they're trying to make it sound like it has to do with what you look like, and that's not the case. I mean,
and then right at that moment, they cut to her one-on-one with the producers going, I'm not attracted to him. It's not going to grow. I see no reason or no world why my attraction would grow. It's not going to happen.
She's like, there's no way. She's like, it will not grow.
Right.
So she's like, I just should leave him now so that I don't string him along through Mexico. And then he's, you know, interested in certain things. And no, it's not for me. And as she's saying this to him, he's going, okay, well, it's okay. He's like,
you go to Baja in a month. He said, why don't we just go a month?
And he goes, well, he's like, you go back home and I'll see you as soon as you get back home. And she goes, yeah. I don't know though. And he goes, what?
Yeah.
He literally, at one point, under her breath goes, I don't think though.
She goes, I don't know. I can't do that. You're like, what?
And they say, he goes, what?
And they start making out with them again. So it's almost like, it was almost like a sitcom or something where it's like,
she literally
where you're like, I want to break up with you. What'd you say? Nothing. I just love you so much. It was literally like that.
I'm not attracted to you at all. Like what'd you say? And she goes, I was just saying that you were so handsome.
Yeah. And she was like, coward, just a pure coward. And this shows you like, people say, I don't want to hurt you. You know, I didn't want to say anything. I said, I don't want to hurt you. It's like, it shows you truly that you hurt people so much worse when you lie to them to make them feel better. Like, and it's so much worse. Like, dude, traumatizing for Patrick.
Traumatizing.
Like, if she would have sort of met him and it would have hurt and it would have sucked, he would have at least been like, okay, and been able to sit with that. But the fact that he was gaslit and fucked with his mind, and then even to the very end, she's jumping in his, like, dude, she was acting like he was the love of her life.
Yeah. And that he was like going away for like 4 years and she would be like, it was just so
and
sad
then
to
my
not
heart
be.
Broke with the one-on-ones with him when he was sitting there like in the underhang talking to the producers. And he's like, yeah, it's all good. Like, she's just stressed about the whole thing. And like, it is what it is.
He's like, what did she say to you?
And
guys?
then you can tell the producers are asking him questions that are making him question it. And he's like, wait, what did she is like, she's not coming. Like, what do you mean? And they basically wrapped it with him thinking all good. I'll see her in a month. But he knew obviously something was up.
My heart broke in a million pieces for him. And Casey, that was so fucking shitty.
So shitty.
Like,
dude,
that was a horrible, horrible thing to do. And I'm glad that she didn't. I'm not saying props to her. There's no props to her. But I'm glad for Patrick's sake that it didn't get pulled out longer.
That they didn't go to Baja.
And then all
yeah.
of a sudden, you know, he's falling more in love with her. And you know, maybe there's more intimacy. And then he's more heartbroken. Because I'm sorry, you know that woman ran straight back into the arms of her ex-boyfriend. Which, you know, the irony too is normally on these reality TV shows and people are like, well, they were dating somebody before. I'm like, yeah, because that's what life is. This is a different case.
Completely.
This is a completely different place. This is a game. She just wants to get famous.
She didn't realize how serious people were taking this. And I think she got in there, didn't realize how serious this got lost in it in regards to like, was so concerned. Because her whole thing really, truly became about how everyone's going to look at me.
Of course.
That's all it became about. How my family's going to look at me, how my friends, how my Instagram followers, is this going to affect my fame in a negative way? Oh shit, it's going to, oh shit, I've lost control. And then,
but it was so yucky when he was like saying goodbye to her and he's like, well, how am I going to get your number? And she's like, well, you have my last name. And he's like, you have an Instagram? And the one moment that she like big smiled, she goes, obviously. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
It was chilling, Evan.
Also insane not like that she's like not giving him her number.
Phone
like,
number?
Hey, brother, you know you're just, like, lost in the sauce quick. When you're like, I guess I'll get a hold of you through Instagram. Your fiance.
Patrick, we are sending you so much love.
Brother.
You know, you stay, and please, I hope you stay far away
this
from
process
her.
Because you know what scares me? I bit you.
You know what scares me is she's the type of person who might hit him back up again.
No.
And try, yes.
Oh, no, she would, but not in this case.
I think
she
would.
She's going to ignore him.
Because she's
going to
start getting
him.
Scared that she's going to look bad. Mm. And she's the type of person who I could see sliding into his DMs and trying to like seduce him a little bit to try to like ease the blow at the reunion where he's a little more like, I understood. She's that type of person and you know it. Oh,
bro,
man. That was so horrible.
Brutal.
Well, Patrick, I hope that you are...
Good luck out there, brother.
That you have, you know, you were looking for somebody. I hope you found someone. You are an absolutely gorgeous man. You seem like a wonderful, vulnerable, kind person. You know, just...
Be the sweet guy you are. Can I give you some advice? Don't try to be the cold, cool guy that you want to be or that in your mind you've thought that's what cool is. You're a vulnerable, sweet, sensitive guy. Be that guy.
Yeah, and by
the way.
All the way.
Because when your moments where you were that guy, when we'd see those windows, we were like, that's a cool guy. When you try to put on this, like, I'm confident about all this. It was like. It bit you, man.
And women are clamoring to get that, to get exactly who you are. Like, please, just be you. You're wonderful.
Yeah.
And maybe just, you know, again, maybe like mellow out on the constant adjustments. That's all. Other than that, you're
perfect.
My
only note is just watch the adjustments.
You're perfect and just be yourself. And we send you so much love. And Casey... Coal in the stocking, girl. Coal in the stocking. All right. Let's talk next about Sparkle, Megan, and Mike and Jordan. So here's the bottom line, family. I want to keep the Sparkle, Megan. I'm going to keep it more brief here because I think you all had enough Sparkle, Megan on your screens because I'm not going to lie. It was too much.
It was a lot. She was like the main. It was like they did a lot of exposure there. And I was kind of interested by it because it wasn't like a fascinating story. Here.
I'm enjoying. I enjoy Sparkle, Megan. Like this is not a personal thing. And I, but it was just too much of that love square.
That wasn't very entertaining.
That wasn't super entertaining.
Yeah, I agree.
It was just a lot of the same conversations.
Yeah. Like, hey, she likes money. I'm a little nervous about that. Hey, I like cold plunges or whatever. Like it was like we heard the same thing 9 times.
So essentially, you know, which by the way, it was so funny to me. So Evan and I have been watching Love is Blind and Ember, you know, walks through the room for 2 seconds. She doesn't watch it with us. It's not appropriate in our opinion. It's not appropriate for her, but she'll walk through the room for a second and briefly, like, you know, see a glance. And she had heard Sparkle Megan introduce herself. Mm-hmm. And Evan was watching the show on his laptop last night and Ember walked by and she goes, oh, Sparkle Megan.
Yeah. She's got a freaky memory, dude. I don't know how she does that.
She goes, oh, Sparkle Megan.
Sparkle Megan.
So, you know, her name precedes her. And because of that name, our daughter remembered her. But she, you know, where we last left her, Blake had left. And so she was left with Jordan and Mike. And here's the bottom line. This is the summary.
Give us the summary.
Over these episodes, we had Mike, who was essentially unwilling to let Megan try to process her feelings between Mike
and Jordan. Yeah. He was almost offended that Jordan was the person also interested in.
Kind of the Brendan thing. It was like, who else could compete with me here? What?
Right. But Brendan was miles.
No, but I'm just saying, like, it was an interesting thing that, like, there's almost, I'm offended that you would like a guy like that because I'm so much better.
And so what Mike starts doing is when he finds out that Jordan's the guy, he comes in to his first pod experience with Megan post Blake bailing on her. And he acts like he's not in the room. And he's like, gotcha. Right after she...
Yeah, got ghosted.
Right after she was just ghosted. That was the most insensitive BS I've ever seen. He goes, he's like, I guess that happens a lot for you. Yeah. It's like, can you imagine getting fully ghosted by one of your connections? And then the guy's just like mocking you. And then in that same conversation, she makes a comment where she's like, oh, yeah, no, I'm in trouble. And he goes, yeah, apparently you like trouble.
Yeah.
And she's like, what does that mean? And so what Mike does is he starts planting seeds over these episodes in Sparkle Megan's brain.
I don't care what kind of car you drive, by the way.
I mean, it
became like a political campaign where instead of just running on your values or your positions, you're smashing the other person. Because this whole thing became like, well, I don't care what kind of car you drive, or do you like tattoos? Like, it became hella insecure.
He was so insecure.
And Jordan didn't even know. Jordan was so in his own world with her that, like, he didn't even know that Mike was the other guy until the very end.
No, he didn't. Remember, Jordan finds out that he's like, another connection. He thought it was just him and Megan.
So he's so just locked in on his own world. And it was just funny to watch Mike, who thought he was the alpha dog this whole time, melt down, try to, like, smear campaign Jordan with all these kind of like, oh, are you like him? I don't know how you could like me, because it's insane that these two people could exist at the same place.
You should feel my muscles compared to his.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, I can't even believe. He's like, and what he started to do too was do this weird thing where he was like hinting at him physically, which, by the way, started to tweak out Sparkle Megan.
Yeah.
Sparkle Megan, I think.
Sure.
A little super fish.
I think so too. 100%.
I think we can probably all agree that Sparkle Megan's a little super fish.
Well, she said, I dated a billionaire for a while. Wow. It was like, who loved, you know what I mean?
So, and then she's a young guy, and you bet that young guy is probably absolutely smoking.
Exactly. So she likes the lifestyle.
She likes money and she likes good looks.
100%. She likes nice things that look pretty.
And so I think Mike started to get in her head because, like, I think Mike's she thought one. that Jordan was not a good looking guy, which isn't true. Jordan's an attractive guy. But then it made Jordan look better and better because Mike is pushing Megan. Mike's just like, well, I'm willing to put it all out there for you. And you know what? I'm going to leave this pod early right now because it's a test.
Yeah. He started doing the whole, like, I'm not going to beg for you. I'm going to make you want me.
Yeah.
Because I'm not competing. I'm not going to beg you and then please pick me. No. So he fed into the kind of, like, archetype that he was building for her, which was her quote ex.
Mm-hmm.
So he really made it more plain. And the only time, so he was losing her. He's losing her. Jordan's really pulling ahead.
And all of the tests too. Almost every pod experience, he'd be like, well, it's a little test for you.
Yeah, it was so corny.
And I was like,
so
oh
lame.
My gosh. He's like, I'm leaving here so that you know, I'm going to let you want me a little bit. I'm like, Mike,
yeah, he played
just,
it really bad. Also
stop.
Knowing that she was trying to get away from her
and
ex.
And pressuring her.
So he was acting like her ex to, like, kind of turn her on. You could tell it was like, I'm going to sex her mind up so that she can't see straight because then she'll want me because I'm like her ex kind of thing.
Right.
Jordan was obviously being himself, totally new guy. What was interesting, though, is that he's losing to Jordan, losing, making it worse. And the only time he almost had her is when she basically tells him, I'm choosing Jordan. And he goes, I understand. And I hope you're happy. And then she's like, wait,
and
maybe
she goes,
he's not a dick.
Why are you being so nice? Yeah. And then she says, cry. He's like, I might start crying. And she goes, cry.
Do it. If you cry, I'll choose you.
It sounded like me. So, yeah. It's like nothing sounds more of a turn on than watching him cry. I'm like, please cry.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you shed a tear, yeah. I'm like, oh, I, which is why I can't wait to see Wicked for Good.
It's a lot of pressure.
Tomorrow.
Okay, don't put that
I'm like,
on
you
me.
Just be staring at you, just being like, cry.
Yes.
Cry. But no, you're right.
So it was like she was like definitely turned on mentally kind of by the Mike archetype who she had been with in the mm-hmm. past. That was her temptation. But she said, I'm trusting my gut. I'm going against my mind. I'm trusting my gut on this. I'm going with Jordan. I think this is the right move. I'm going to just do one little more last meeting with Mike to see if it's like work. And then he kind of gives her the sweet treatment and it messes with her head.
It does mess with her head.
But so she sticks with it.
So she goes into
proud
the
of her.
But she goes, I was so, you know what? Like a shout out to Sparkle Megan, because she, I was convinced she was going to choose Mike. And so the fact that she went against what her typical type was and she was feeling nervous about it.
Yep.
And even with all
stressing.
Of, even with all of Mike's hints that like Jordan's not, he, she's not going to like him. Mm-hmm. She continued to just trust her gut. And I was so proud of her. I thought that was massive growth. And I think that was amazing.
Yes,
and then shout out to Jordan too, because through then this process,
he was the most gracious response ever.
Oh my God. During the remainder of their pod time together, he puts zero pressure on her. He does the opposite of Mike, where he's like, by the way, like when he finds out that she has another connection, she's like, I'm so sorry, I thought you knew. And he goes, no, listen, he's like, I just want you to know, like, I understand. I'm just so happy to be here with you in this space. And the fact that, like, you know, you're even willing to spend time with me. Like, I know, you know, getting involved with someone who has a kid, it's a lot and it's hard. And just the fact that you're willing to be here with me, like, I mean, he was so sweet and so gracious. And then on top of that, when she ends up shutting Mike down and Mike comes in to the men's quarters and it was like, Hey, Jordan, happy for you, whatever. Jordan goes straight into the pod and says, Megan, I think that you should know that Mike came to me and it was super gracious and was really kind and said that he was happy for us. And I think you should know that. And this comes, by the way, after he doesn't know this, but Mike's talking mad shit about him. And yet Jordan, without
so sweet,
it doesn't
gracious.
Do anything for Jordan. Jordan, quote unquote, won.
Right.
And he's like, hey, I just want to let you know that Mike really handled that beautifully. I was like, that's amazing.
Yes.
So then we get to the reveal and Sparkle Megan is nervous.
Super nervous.
Because she's like, what is
Jordan's deal? Did I not choose the hot
deal?
One? You know what I mean?
That what's was, Jordan's deal? Yeah. Because what has Mike been saying, you know? And so I think it was a benefit, you know, honestly, at the
end.
Yeah,
we talked about this. At first, we're like, that sucks. But then it's like, no, if you're now thinking he's not attractive and then he is attractive, it works out better. Versus if you think he's going to be a smoke and he's not quite what you assumed, right?
Yes.
Like Mike would have had to come with the heat because Mike was selling himself as this model vibe. So it's like Mike screwed himself on that. So the fact that Jordan was actually downplayed by Mike at the end worked in Jordan's favor.
I think not. I'm sorry, Mike. This is very, I'm not trying to be an asshole, but I think if she would have chosen Mike, I think in Sparkle Megan's mind, obviously Mike's a good looking guy, but I think in Sparkle Megan's mind,
he had built
we're dealing
up.
With Chris Hemsworth, like 6'4".
Well, he's also like talked about how like, I just like, love to sculpt
like,
my body.
You
and
know,
it's like,
absolutely
dude, you're not,
shredded,
yeah.
Just like, you know, but she with Jordan, she was like, oh my God, you're so handsome. You're so handsome. He was nervous.
He was like, nice to meet you. Want to see pictures of my son?
It was so
they got like half a kiss in and he's like, let's go. Like he was so nervous. He might be the most nervous person
he
there.
He was so nervous. He was beat red too.
But she was stoked. That's what I was blown away
happy.
By. That was the most animated we had seen her.
I know.
Was her attraction to him. So unless she's selling it, I don't think she was. She seemed very happy, very attracted to him. Over the moon.
I mean, didn't get the vibe that she was faking it.
I feel like it was the happiest reaction
now,
we had almost seen.
Now, what I could see happening is this. I think she's then like, oh, relieved that he's like a good looking guy. Yeah. But then maybe all of a sudden what's going to settle in is that he's maybe not her typical type.
I agree.
And then all of a sudden she'll start spiraling.
The whole Kia not baller
vibes. Well,
no,
I'm even talking just
and,
physically, whatever. The
oh,
whole
yeah.
thing. I think that maybe she'll come down from like a high.
Yeah.
But with that being said, do I think these two will work? No. Because I think the lifestyles are so different. And I think Megan talks about she wants to be a mom. And he's gotten the vasectomy. I know he said that he will reverse it, but I think maybe after more conversations.
Doesn't seem like he's like ready to go.
I don't think he's necessarily like, she wants to be a mom. And I think she's going to be an amazing mom.
Yeah, I don't,
but
I
then
agree.
Also,
I don't think it works.
When you have a child involved and clearly Luca is his priority, which as it should be, I love to see that. But like, I think it's going to get complex here. I think there's going to be dynamic of like the money thing. I think that the child, what children that she wants. Also, I think then his own son. I don't think they're in love enough to make this work.
Yeah, agreed.
But I do like them together. I think they're sweet.
I know. Very sweet.
And I'm rooting for them.
I know. I agree.
I'm rooting for them.
I'm a little nervous, but I agree.
Yeah. Okay, let's discuss our last couple that we saw get engaged.
Yes.
And that was Calabria and Edmund.
Oh, the sweetest baby in the world, Edmund.
Edmund, this man is full of energy. When he first walks into the first pod and he's like, I'm doing pretty magnificent.
His outfits,
just
as colorful as his personality.
Yes. He's just all legs.
Like he's coming in, and like so the in legs, all he's just pink. Like he's, it's awesome. Like he's coming in all pink with a belt and glasses and the whole thing.
Floral, like the whole thing. And he is, you know what he was serving me? So this is what I can imagine. I can imagine people watching this being like, wow, he's wild. It's too much. Mm. Remember when he was making out with the floor?
Yes.
And you know what? Maybe I'll take this back. But so far as what we've seen in these five episodes, I'm celebrating the fact that Edmund's just fucking being Edmund.
There he's is having one a great Edmund time. And it is him. And he's having a great time, fearless with his, like, actions. Like,
yes.
Him in front of ten grown men kissing the ground because it feels good. Like, listen, we might all do some weird shit like that. Who knows?
I kiss fruit all the time. Right? Anybody else?
We all do weird shit in our lives.
Yeah.
In the privacy of our home. He goes, fuck it, man. I'm myself. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this right here. Don't care.
And cut to him crying in front of all the men later because
he felt bad for...
because of Brendan.
Yeah.
And then he points at Nick and he goes, he didn't even see you.
Yeah. I mean, just a raw human.
Well, and what we see is when he calls Calabria KB. When he's
so
when he's getting to know KB, he immediately is like full open, just letting all of his emotions pour out. At one point, sobbing.
He can cry with the best of them.
He can cry with the best of them.
At the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
When they start talking about his childhood and he start talking about his... all the stuff he's been through. And then she just said, I don't remember exactly what it was, something like, I'm here for you, or I'll always be by your side or something. He cries all the tears to where he has to stop. He can't even talk.
Mm-hmm.
That dude is super in tune with his emotion.
You know who he reminds me of? Huh. He gives Jim Carrey to me.
100%.
Like he gives me Jim Carrey. Like
he's got the limbs too. That's like, what I'm saying.
He's got
the limbs.
He's got the legs. Legs just always like one like yeah. like over here on the couch and over here on the couch. And it reminds me of like what it might be like to be like in a personal relationship with Jim Carrey, especially when Jim Carrey was younger, where he's like trying all on different characters and vibes and energies and just, you know, just running through the halls of the pods and all this. But no, his story is really intense. Like he grew
really
up
intense.
In the foster care system his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And he then from there ended up getting his master's degree, which is unbelievable.
Amazing.
And then he's like, I want to be a substitute teacher. He's like, my life was saved by my fifth grade teacher. And he starts bawling.
Yeah.
We're crying. Evan and I were both like bawling.
Yeah.
But then we
also,
have
super into rollerblading.
Oh, obsessed.
Which could not be more on brand. Like,
so his personality.
The clothing, the limbs flying all over the place, him jumping everywhere, him on rollerblades. Like, I couldn't think of a more perfect marriage.
Oh, for sure. And I don't know if this is like the case, but I can 100% see him.
I'm sure he's unreal.
Well, being a rollerblading influencer, you know, they have the rollerblading influencers who dance
they
and
dance.
They're like down in Venice Beach and they're like, you know,
that
yeah, that's he's given it.
He's killer.
He's given it on the blades.
100%.
But then we get to know Calabria, and Calabria is an amazing woman.
And but personality wise, the opposite.
They're the opposite. It's full yin and
quiet,
yang.
Quiet. Her voice is very book, like someone reading you a book.
Yeah, get on Audible, girl.
Very calm, breathy, beautiful voice. Her energy's calm. Mm-hmm. Takes him in. So it's very funny how you could not be more opposite, but also possibly does work together.
Well, it's interesting too, because he was growing up in the foster care system. She's a social worker.
Yes.
Like, and she just is, she's a warm hug.
Yeah.
She's so affirming. And she, whenever he's having his, like, you know, big emotions that come out, she's just like, I'm here for you. And she'll sit with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were a couple scenes where, like, there was silence and she comforted him through that and she sat with him. And
I
then
tell.
There was one point where they had it, which is a moment that I loved with her, is where they were sitting together in the pods. And she asked him, she's like, can I ask, you know, how are you able to forgive your mother?
Yeah.
You know, because of her putting you in foster
yeah.
care. And
And they have this like really heartfelt conversation. And then she's like, you know what? I struggle because you know that your mom loved you, but my dad was absent and I don't know that he loved me. And I'm struggling with, and it was so fucking vulnerable,
really,
and so real though. And the fact that like she's, to me, it's a huge thing to be the type of person who, especially while you're still getting to know someone, to say, can you tell me how you did something?
Yeah.
Like, how did you forgive? And we're talking about something that's like a wound,
yeah,
too.
Hardcore,
so it's
hardcore.
For her, it's like a wound. And to ask for like, hey, how did you do that? It was like, I had chills. It was beautiful. Yeah. It was beautiful. So these two,
it was just,
they were smooth.
Right on through.
They were smooth sailing the entire time.
There's no
absolute, yeah, smooth sailing. And then he ends up proposing to her. Mm-hmm. And now this is where I started to get a little nervous, okay? Because she writes him a letter, and it is,
it's incredible.
Put it in a museum.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
It belongs in a museum.
It belongs in a museum.
Indiana Jones. Anyway, she writes him a stunning, stunning letter, and really puts her whole heart out there. And he then says, thank you. And then he goes, hold on one second. And he says, pretty, 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 please marry me.
Yeah.
And that's it. And maybe something was cut, but that is when it felt like
they weren't on the same page.
Well, it felt like a maturity difference.
And
here,
then she says yes.
She says yes.
And he goes, thank you, thank you, thank you for marrying. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was a pretty please, thank you, up against her letter that had like kind
of
really deep.
And then of course
deep,
he's let's going and he's bouncing off the walls. But like she, that's where the maturity difference felt,
yeah,
where it was like, okay, we have someone who's communicating and putting her whole heart out there. And then we're getting like this playful, pretty, pretty please, which I love the dichotomy of like the serious and the playful. And I think two people like that can really work well together. But also where was the depth, because I felt like there was depth before when they were having conversations.
Yeah.
But I guess it was more about when they were talking about what he was processing through. I don't know. And then we get to the reveal. And she definitely, so he comes down and he's looking so handsome.
Yeah.
And he was so sweet in his ITMs where he's like, I might not be the best looking, but you know, he said something like that. And I'm like, dude, you're a very handsome man and you've got great style. But when she comes out and sees him, and she says it later in ITMs, she's like, in real life, I would have walked right past Edmund.
Yeah.
He's got the floral shirt on. It's like he's at the beach. So she's not really into his style.
Yep.
And I think physically, like she said, she would have maybe not noticed him before. He's just like, let me admire you. He's like, I'm trying to play it cool.
Yep.
We hear how he feels about her in the ITMs because he's like, I'm about to cry with a boner.
That was very funny. So funny.
That's wild. But he starts crying.
Yeah.
And she's like comforting him. And then when he says, when they're separating, he goes, one second, and he takes off. It made me laugh. It was so cute. He takes off and grabs this love letter and runs back to her. And she's like, wow, you're really like going high knees with that run. And he's like, of course. And he gives her a love letter. And when they say goodbye, the way he like is, he's jumping. She didn't seem that into it. I think it was a little bit like when we're in the pods and I'm hearing your exclamatory statements, I'm not necessarily including that with maybe you
the
jumping.
The full physical, like accompaniment to the emotions and personality.
And she's so chill and he is very youthful in his energy.
It's pretty extreme.
Yeah.
The difference of energies and personality. Pretty extreme. You know, and she's super non-traditional. So it's not like she's like, you know, I want this stoic guy. Like, you know, she's very like talking about her whole life, how she's down for any basically relationship, like open for any connection that's right. But there, I mean, it's just even friends, right? Just even having friends, like two friends. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's a pretty extreme difference there. So I agree with you. Up until that very point, everything was great. now I'm feeling her going, I want to try.
I know.
But this might be too far.
I think she's going to adore him as a friend.
I think she loves him deeply.
But I think she loves him deeply. And I also think, too, the combination of his youthfulness and how, like, mellow and mature she is. And then also, you know, I feel like she's comforting him a lot. So then there's more of a motherly thing happening.
That's kind of what it felt like really at the end there.
I feel like she's going to adore him, but it's just, it's not going to be the right fit. Like, I think it's going to be too extreme for her. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's kind of what I'm getting.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I thought that, like, they were, like, going to be, like, 100%.
I thought they were
going to be, like, you know, just coast the whole time. But that reveal, all of a sudden, just watching her face.
Shifted to bestie mind.
It was, like, watching her face. It was a little bit like, oh, I might have to get over this. Maybe I made the wrong decision. Like, that's kind of the vibe that I was getting. Mm-hmm. But the letter that he wrote to her was so sweet.
So sweet.
And he runs and gets it and brings it back to her. And when she read the letter was, like, deep and emotional. And I don't know. So there's that part of their relationship that they have. I don't know. We'll see.
Interesting.
We shall see.
Well.
But family, there it is.
Episode
3, 4, and 5 and a few minutes of 6. But we have covered the pods for Love is Blind season 9. This is a wild season. I'm shocked. I haven't heard anybody, like, we've been spoiler free, but typically I have to stay very careful to stay away from spoilers. I mean, the season feels pretty wild. I'm just kind of shocked that, like, I wasn't seeing stuff everywhere that I was having to avoid.
Don't look. Yeah.
No, I feel like I'm like, there's been some, what? I mean, this cast is a pain in my ass.
But super, there's a lot going on.
There's a lot to have opinions about. And I feel like going into the Mexico episodes are going to be bonkers. Like, there's no way that this season isn't going to be wildly dramatic. Mm-hmm. The relationships that are going on, it's going to be a nightmare.
Insane.
Anywho, well, family, we love you so much. Thank you so much for being patient with the construction going on. If there is any sound that you're hearing, we appreciate you all. You're the best.
See you next week.
We will see you next week. We got one episode next week. Tune in on Wednesday, baby.
Goodbye.
And we will see you then.
Bye.
Bye. Happy Wicked weekend.
Ooh.
Wicked for good. We're going to go see it. Happy Wicked weekend. Bye.